לזלות. יש עוד פעם בבית זה ה-Book of John, chapter 4. And let's read verse 28 to verse 30. John chapter 4, verse 28 to verse 30. And say, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and says to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. This is part of the meeting that Christ had with a woman from a city in Samaria, and after she received Christ, the woman went ahead and she started to preach and she started to evangelize. Before we continue to speak about her and to learn more things from scriptures about evangelism, let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, anoint this time, O God. And I pray you give us our need, the word of yours, that we need it so that we'll be built up, that we'll be growing, that we'll be moving in the way that you want us to move, O God. I pray for the humility in our heart, understanding. I pray that you grow. Pray for the perfection of your church. I pray for souls to be saved and people to be helped. I pray for lost souls to be reached out. In the name of Jesus, I pray for change of attitude and characters of your servants, O God, whether here or wherever this message will reach them. I pray the fruit I desire from sending this word to your church shall be accomplished. In the name of Jesus, I pray you anoint my lips and put verses and statement, O God, to encourage your people, to teach your people, O God, to answer our queries, to give us ways and open our eyes to see ways of yours that you want us to go through. I pray for more effective evangelism. I pray for the gift of evangelism to be given to those who hear, Lord, the word of yours. I pray for also the fruit of the Holy Spirit, attitude and character and love, and to be transformed, to be a real servant of your. We thank you, God. We bless you. This is our prayer in His name. Amen. This woman, as we know, after she came to know Christ, and after Christ revealed Himself fully to her, she left Him, and she left the water pot that she came with to fill water and went her way into the city and said to the man. So after she met Christ, as if she knew what is her next assignment to do, she went with a pot of water to bring water, and I don't know after that whether she wanted to take a bath or she wanted to cook, or she want to water her plant. But after she met Christ, she left those things and she went straight in her way. She knows where she's going to go, and she went to the men of the city that she knew, and they knew her. And what she did, she testified to them about Christ, about a man that she met, and she told them that this man have told me all what I have done, all what I did in my life. And she invited them, and she have told them, come and see a man which told me all this, that ever I did, is not this, the Christ. So she shared the message with them, starting with her testimony. I'm speaking about, now how are we going to share our testimony with the people? See, this woman, the way that she started to speak about her testimony, she did not speak about what are the physical things that God had done in her life, what are the material things that she had received from Him. But the first things that she shared with the man, she told them, He have told me everything I have done in my life. Now the men of the city, do they know her or no? They know her. Now what she shared with them, she shared with them how much Christ had cleansed her from her sins. Now, testimony, if you will only testify about the goodness of God, and you will not testify about our sin, that God took us from where we were, and still to the, even today, He's still cleansing us, our testimony will not be valid and effective in evangelism. I'm going to speak the churches now and the church system. They have either two systems. Either that will magnify the material things that God had given and the parents, and the testimony will go into this direction. The other system, and that's what Christ wants, that testimony should be directed how God changed life, how God hid the sin that we were in and changed us. There must be a conversion point or period. When we don't emphasize on with the time that you have been changed, how God entered your life, and how, what is the sin that He hid, and what the sin that He had removed, and what is the sin that He is still removing, the evangelism will not be effective, discipleship will not go on in the proper way that God wants, and also our testimonies will not be truthful. What the woman we expect she testify? Let's read verse 16 to verse 18. What are the sins that Christ had told her, whatever she did, there's only, we can read that in verse 16 to verse 18. He say, Jesus said to her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly. So when Christ met her, the old life, the old fire that he opened in her life is about her relationship with men. And we know that. What was her sin? Her sin was adultery. Okay? What else? Her sin? She was hiding it or no? Why she was hiding it? She is hiding it. What for she was hiding? What for she was hiding it? Was she ashamed of it or no? Shame coming from what? Come from pride. Have you get the point? This is another sin. So there's adultery, but we don't know why she was doing adultery. But she wants to hide it. Yeah? And besides that, she has the pride and she's ashamed of it. When she went to the men of the city, do the men of the city knew her or no? He knew her. So when she testified, comes to the man who told her everything I did, they know that she was faced with her sin, that she was living and practicing. And her testimony was valid or no? Valid. How about if you say, Christ give me job? And Christ increase my salary. And because that testimony was going on in the body of Christ. Sin is not dealt with. The root of the sin was not dealt with. But testimony on other ways, boasting on the material things that God gives, that's what's going on. Now here's the point. Why sin is not dealt with? Now here the sin was dealt with, right? In the example that Christ met with the woman. We need to evangelize, right? This sin is very rampant. Now when such sin or sin is not dealt with, there's two reasons. First, people does not want to get clashes to deal with certain issues. I give you an example. Suppose you know that the bed that you are sleeping or the room that you are living it needs cleaning or there is something. You will postpone and postpone in order that to avoid a big work or long work, so you will postpone it. Certain time, the body of Christ is afraid to face certain situation. That's one of the reasons. Now the other reason, and I think that is more valid than this, and really of concern, the other reason that sin is not dealt with, you know what is it? We meet people to evangelize, right? Like Christ met a woman. We meet many people. Many people, right? I might say, meet many people, we give the word of God, we give the gospel. Do we know their life? Do we know their sin? Do we know what they did? Do we know what they are hiding? The other reason why sin is not dealt with is lack of discernment. There's one category that sin is very obvious and the church is not dealing with it. The other point is lack of discernment. Or certain times God will not reveal that sin. Thus, some of you have hear me repeating it. We are not dealing with any new sin. We are dealing an old sin. Just now Christ has revealed in a clear way. Do we need to pray for ourselves to have discernment? Amen. Sister Mary should pray. Did I tell you to pray for discernment? It's the same message. The fact of evangelism and what's going on, much evangelism, but what the people's real sin is, we are not aware. You know, this woman is, her sin is adultery. Maybe she was doing it for other reasons, because she is in need of finances. For example, maybe out of revenge she is doing it. Maybe out of boasting she is doing it. The root cause should be defined so that sin will be cleansed, the body of Christ will be cleansed. So the testimony will be more fruitful and it brings souls into God's kingdom. She testified. But this woman, she did not only testify. She not only give testimony. You know, there are a good number of churches, they depend much on the testimony of people. It's not wrong, it's correct, but have to go into this way. Sin should be dealt with. Okay? There must be emphasis on the conversion point. When I met Christ, I was this sin and this sin and this sin and this sin. After that, this was disappeared. Now the other point, even if we do that, we should do other things. The woman, she directs the people to Christ. It is not only enough to hear testimony. They must meet Christ and they must hear the word of truth Have you get the point? If people only live on testimony, on experiences, and they want somebody's experience will come to my experience, that will not work. They will not grow in harmony. They must be directed to Christ and to His word. And that's what she did. She told them, come and see the man. She is not he that Christ. And if you go further, so evangelism should be accompanied by teaching and the word of truth later on. It has to be introduced to the souls. We will read verse John 4 and verse 39 to verse 42. It says, and many of the Samaritans of that city did believe on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and knows that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now see here, in verse 39 say that many of the Samaritans believe based on what the woman had said unto them. She had testified. And not only this, those who believe, so when the Samaritans were come unto him, so they met him. We get the money. They not only heard testimony. They met Christ themselves, and they asked him to stay with him with them 2 days. And when Christ stayed with them 2 days, what do you expect Christ would do with them? Would he come to teach or no? Yes, there's opportunity for Christ is to start to teach him. So they hear the testimony of the woman. They know her life. And they know that Christ faced with this sin. Have you got the one? So they are dealing with the honest God and also honest Lord. They know what Christ did really for that woman. And now they are hearing themselves, His word, to them. Now, when we evangelize and we also testify. Do we need to pray for the people to read their Bible? Do we need to direct them to Christ? Do we need to pray that the Holy Ghost will give them the message of Christ, will confirm to them what we spoke to them? So we need to have discernment. We need to be willing to face and to be troubled when God leads us to deal with certain sin. And see how Christ dealt with that woman. And she was and also she was cleansed. That's where the point of to have love and to have mercy on the people. To help them out from the sin that they are in. Those people who came to Christ and they believe on Him after they hear Him, and many more believe because of His own word. That's here the point here. They believe because of the word of God, His own word, the word of Jesus, the living word of God, the Rhema that the Holy Spirit sent to His church. Send to the disciples, and disciples, when they speak, should speak the Rhema, word of God, that come from the Scriptures, based on the Scriptures coming from the God the Father, through the Holy Ghost. And said unto the woman, now we believe not because of their saying, not only because we hear from you, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed Christ, the Savior of the world. See here, the normal growth of the new believers, not only on testimonies or activities or talents, but should be really indoctrinated with the Word of God and the Word of Christ, the life of Christ. They will grow normally. And as we notice, you know, those are Samaritans. When they testify, there is something in this verse, in verse 42. I'm speaking about those who believe based on the testimony of the woman and based on the what they hear from God's word. They say about Jesus, this is indeed the Christ, he's the Messiah, the Savior, he's our King, he's the King of Kings. But they say also the Savior of the world. They did not say Savior of the world. So they are now burdened that this Christ, he's not only for us, but we need to publish him, publish his name and what he said to us and what he done to us. Our testimony, not only to our just only village or city or neighbor, but all over the world. You know, it's very amazing, the Jewish, his own people, I did not come across such a person that he is the Savior of the world. When Peter confessed, you are Christ, the Son of God. But those, they carry the mission of God, we will spread your name, we will evangelize. So we need to pray for discernment, we need to be ready to be bold, face, willing to be facing the troubles when sin is exposed. Yeah, that's the real work of God. The other things, activities, that is just complementary, but the real work is dealing with sin. We need to pray for us to have more love and compassion, because sinners, they need much work, and that is how God will test that we really love him or we love ourselves. Let's go to John, Luke chapter 3. We meet and discuss also another scripture from the point of evangelism and how to reach others. Lord, transform us, O God. Let these scriptures come through in our lives. We desire to spread your word, O God, the way that you taught in scriptures. In Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 3, verse 9 to 14, we will read about how John the Baptist was ministering. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than what that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Now, here, and we know the example of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he preached with boldness. He faced sin and he faced all the categories of the people. He answered their question and he gave them their assignment in a very powerful way and peaceful way, in verse 9, he told them that the axe is at the root. He told them that you're going to be God. If you are not going to bring the fruit that God would desire in your life, the axe will be at the root of the tree. It will be cut and will be thrown into the fire. Now, when you speak always about John the Baptist, we remember boldness. We remember to exhort and speak the truth. But there is something else about the ministry of John the Baptist. If we look intently of what he was doing, all kinds of people, they were going around him and they were coming. Now the question here, he was born, he was violent, and that's what I encourage you also, and that's what we need to do. But my question here, do he knew the people? Was he aware of their sin or no? He was aware. Now here is the important point. Again, we need to go back about what is called discernment. To whom he said the axe is at the root? He did not say to the publican. Although he was speaking, he was hitting whom? He was hitting the Jewish leader, the Pharisee and teacher of the law, the synagogue leader who were taking the people away from God's direction. He was hitting the church system that promoting sin and who is allowing sin but promoting other agenda. But he was merciful to others. In verse 10, and the people ask him, saying, what shall we do then? Look at the Pharisee and the teacher of the law, they were not baptized by John. But others, they come to him. So his message was hard with those who are putting people away from God, but he was careful and gracious to those who are coming to God. When they asked him, what shall we do? What he answered them? Verse 11, when he answered the people, he told them, if somebody has a cord, two cords, let him give. If somebody has a meat, that's food, let him give to those who does not have, let him share. What kind of sin he was dealing with at that time? Selfishness. That's correct. So he was aware when the people come to him, he knew ahead of him to speak. He knew what was their sin. And that's why we need again and again to listen. First, we listen from God's voice. Second, we need to listen to their people and see their response. Was John the Baptist merciful? Yes. Was the John Baptist having discernment and know the people who was coming? Yes. We need to have that same. We need to pray that God would show us according to His will the kind of people that we are meeting and He is allowing us to meet and minister in our lives. In verse 12 and 13 and 14, John the Baptist was dealing with categories. The category of the publicans, he knew their sin, and the category of the soldiers, the Romans, he also knew their sin. And that's what we need to do. So here the message of evangelism, the word of God that he was preaching was so effectively hitting their sin. Do you know, I will tell you something. If you remove verse 9 from the scripture here, from this situation, what John the Baptist say? The axe is at the root. If you take it out from the message, it will not work. Where he was hitting those who are Calus' heart, who are not willing. When he did it, he was able to see the other categories. The common people with their sin of selfishness, the publican, what was their sin? They came, the publican, to be baptized and say unto Master, what shall we do? And he say unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. What is their sin? Greed, okay, and also extortion, love of money. He directed the message toward their sin, like a Christ. Where is your husband? And verse 13, when the soldiers came to him, this is another category, they asked him, what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man. They were taking advantage, using their power. Neither accuse any falsely, also taking advantage. False testimony, based on their own power. If they are not soldiers, they will not accuse falsely. So accusing falsely is secondary sin. Like a woman doing adultery because she needs of money. Woman doing adultery because her husband would have another woman. It's not adultery. There is another sin before it. So we need to go back to the down to the root, so the message will be effective. Roots have to be pulled out of sin, so the foundation will be in you. Do violence to no man, neither accuse any false, and be content with your wages. God had to bless you with this, that's enough. No more than this. John the Baptist died in a very young age. We know the history. We know that he was put in jail because he faced Herod, because he married his he had married the wife of his brother, and he was alive. And because of this, John the Baptist rebuked him. And because of that, Herod put him in jail. And finally, John the Baptist was dead, executed. And he's like a flower that's been cut. And when we read his story, his life, from the scripture, we might feel sorry about him. What had happened to his ministry? What is the fruit of his ministry? Have you get the point here? But this is, go to the scriptures and let us learn from the scriptures what was the outcome of his ministry. You know, we understand that from the plant point of view, when the flower falls down from the tree, there will be no fruit, because the fruit comes from the flower. Now this man was dead. He is not a flower, but he is a seed of God's word. When he falls down, plants and the fruit will be coming on the way. And let's go to John chapter 10. What I'm emphasizing here, the importance of telling the truth in our life and ministry. We might not see fruit in our eyes. We might preach and preach, and all of a sudden we'll be taken away. We don't know the outcome of what we are doing. We cannot see it. But let us trust God and the scriptures. And we continue to speak the truth to the people whoever God allows us to speak. Because God works based on scriptures, not our own understanding. That is the discernment that we need to understand today. We should not base our mission on what we see. There are many things we cannot see, but God still wants us to do our part. In John chapter 10, let's read the outcome of the ministry of John the Baptist. In John chapter 10, and if we read verse 38 to verse 42, that's where Jesus was arguing with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. He was doing American. He was telling them, I and the Father are one. He's telling them that he is God, and they were very upset about him. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the words that he may know, and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. Verse 40, and went away, that's Jesus, went away again, beyond Jordan, into the place where John at first baptized. And there he abode. And many resorted unto him, and said, John did no miracles, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. Now this occasion was after the death of John the Baptist. John was already killed, I don't know how many years, 2 or 3 years ago. That was after his death. Christ was preaching and he was confronted by them. Teacher of the law, and they were not believing him. And they want to take hold on him, but he escaped. We learn that when they are resistant and we can't penetrate more, we need to move in some other places, because there will be other people, and that's where the strategy of Christ. We move from high resistance. I'm not saying that we need to escape. After we have done all that we need to do, we need to move away so that other people also will be blessed with the Lord and with God's word. When he went, where he went to the area beyond Jordan, the place where John the Baptist were baptized. The same place, the ministry of John the Baptist, there were no people there. Because John the Baptist, he was executed. And the Bible says, and there he abode, there he stayed. He stayed in the place where John the Baptist was there. So here, God, Christ, did not forget the work of John the Baptist and what he preached. And when he was there, what happened? The people resorted to him. They came to him. And what he did to them, Christ? He started to preach to them. And what was their testimony? Their testimony is say that they say that John did not do any miracle. Is that right or wrong? Is that right or wrong? Now people after miracles. After well, that's right or wrong. John did not do any miracle. That's true. No miracle recorded for John. And no miracle recorded for Abraham. And no miracle recorded for David. And no miracle recorded for Jeremiah. And no miracle recorded for John the Baptist. I think there are other peoples in the Bible, they don't have recorded miracles to them. But what was their testimony? That all that he spoke about this man is true. Now, if John the Baptist did not speak the truth, those people will believe or no? That's the value. We need to continue to open our mouth. Speak the scriptures, not only your testimony. Speak, if you want to speak about your testimony, speak that point of conversion when You must mention your sin. From where God has taken you. Direct people to Christ. Direct them to God's word. Continue to do the work. Even if you don't see fruit. We may not know. Maybe even after we die. God will bring the fruit that He desires in the life of the people that we minister. Let's stand. This is what the Lord is directing us today. Let us commit ourselves to the Lord to evangelize. Let's pray to have discernment. Let's be willing to be bold and face and deal with sin. That's one point. But to have discernment is very important, because if we will not know what they are hiding, but if God will not reveal to us what is the reason of that relationship, what is the reason of adultery, what is the reason of stealing, if God will not reveal, even we cannot deal. God should reveal things to us. God should give us discernment. Let's pray for ourselves. Lord, give me more compassion, more merciful heart. We must be aware that certain people, they are not aware of their sin even. They are not aware that the style of their life is already sinful. They are not aware of it. And God wants us to help such people. God, I am with you. Lord, help me, O God. I am willing to save you. Lord, I pray you give me discernment to see things clearly, O God, as you saw it in the Samaritan woman, as John the Baptist, your servant, saw it in the crowds of people, the publicans, the soldiers, in all categories. Help us, O God. Help us, O Lord. Teach us, Lord, to forgive, to be willing, to be even heard. O God, to continue to minister to the people. O God, we are lost without you. We need you to change us, O God. Give us more fruit, O God, of the Holy Spirit. Give us more fruit of the Holy Spirit, O God, so that we can minister, O Lord, the things, O Lord, that you want us to minister. The very word that you want us to speak and preach, O God. Lord, thank you for sending your word to us. You have opened our eyes. Continue, Lord, to keep our eyes open unto you and to hear your voice, your direction. Direct us to the situation and people that they need help. Lord, we don't ask you to send us to people easy, but we are willing to go where you're sending us. We are willing to speak what you ask us to say. Thank you, God. We bless you, Lord. Let your fruit, let your God, people saved through this word of yours. Open mysteries and ways for us to continue to serve you. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord.
Way. Will we spread the way? That is higher on your
for your word. Here we are, willing Lord, empowered by your love to go forward, carrying your word to the rest of the world. We trust that you will protect us, and you will provide us, and you will give us what we ask of you, of discernment and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, to continue to love and persevere until you will come and take us. I pray for more fruits. I pray that you take the message and make it reach to the places and to the ears of those who are in need of this word of yours. And God bless us. In love, your territory, Lord. Let your hand be with us and keep us guarded from harm so that we are not slipping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all in Christ's name. Amen.